Tonight we're going to briefly look at Matthew chapter 2. We've been, if you've been with us in the weeks leading up to this in Advent, we had taken a look at Matthew 1 and 2 for the last 3 weeks, and Billy will finish that up next week. And what I really want to focus on tonight is the idea in Matthew 2 of this little baby king, Jesus, pressing out the boundaries of his claims. What we want to see in the birth of Christ is not simply to relegate Jesus to some little spiritual space or even a time of year where we all get out our Christmas ornaments and we sing songs, and even on whatever radio station they play some of the songs that we've even sang tonight. But that Jesus is pressing out on the boundaries so that we see the extension of his grace in the coming of Jesus. We see him establishing his reign, which ultimately establishes his claim over all the earth. That he's not simply this baby. He's not simply the king of the Jews. He is the king of kings. So let me read for us Matthew 2, 1 to 12. This is God's word. "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, 'Where is he who has been born the king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him.' After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way." This is God's word. Let me pray for us. Our Father, as we come and we read these, for some of us, very familiar words, Lord, we pray that we would not come with callous hearts, with all of our assumptions, but that we would come with fresh eyes to see and hear again the good news that Jesus reigns. This beautiful picture of a child sent from heaven that he might be a ruler for your people, and that he might institute a reign of grace. May we see it. May you open our eyes to it. May we see the beauty of the claim of Christ as we worship and celebrate the coming of that Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. One of my favorite things when I was a child was to look at Highlights magazines. Now that I have children, I still love those magazines. And my favorite part of those magazines is usually the picture on the back that represents a pretty ordinary scene, a picture by people, flying a kite by a lake or a beach scene. But what is hidden in those pictures are unexpected things. In Highlights magazine, they're random. You might be flying a kite, and what you're holding on to is really a cat's tail. And you're supposed to go through and identify all the things that don't really belong in that normal scene. And when you read Matthew 2, it should be kind of like that Highlights magazine. Not randomly put in there, but shocking, the things that shouldn't be there. Because these wise men, or as some of your translations say, magi, they're palm readers and magicians. They are mystics and astrologers. And here they are in the narrative about the coming of Jesus. And if you were a Jew reading this in the first century, you would have gone, why did you include these folks in this story? They don't fit. Herod marginally fits in the story. The scribes and the priests are supposed to fit in, but they're really just a parenthesis in the whole story. So why are the Magi included? And what does their coming to Herod and then their ultimately coming to Jesus and worshiping Him tell us? And what it tells us is that if we were simply looking at the picture that we were expecting, that Jesus wants us to see that He's painting a new picture, where actually the Magi fit in, where those who would be otherwise unexpected at the feet of the Lord are part of the picture that He's painting. And it's not just a picture that Matthew created new in the New Testament. As we've seen even from some of our readings in Isaiah, and we could go through and read all night and see the various pictures that God was beginning the brushstrokes of this new redemptive story. A bigger redemptive story. You know, artists sometimes when you see them draw the first few lines, they know what they're painting from the very beginning. You might look on as a novice, an observer, and just go, I got no idea. Could be a walrus, could be a dump truck. But then as more and more lines come in, you see the beauty of the picture that's being manifest to you. And that's what Matthew is making more explicit now than in the Old Testament when it said, the nations will be called Zion-born. That the people from far off that otherwise would have been ignored because they didn't belong to this nation of Israel are going to be incorporated into this new people of God. This bigger paradigm of God's people, and really the illustration of that is pressing back on the borders of God's grace, that He's extending the borders of His grace. And I want us to see three things very briefly here. I want to see how Jesus extends His claim over all thrones as we see the interaction with Herod. And we see that Jesus extends the claim over all the world as He invites the Magi into this story of redemption. And then we see Jesus' claim extended to the nations as they bow down and worship Him. The first thing is this. We see Jesus' claim on all thrones. Herod was afraid. We're told in verse 3 that when Herod heard the news that this star had appeared and that there was another who was called the King of the Jews. Herod, by the way, was an appointed king by Rome. He would have been de facto called the King of the Jews because of the province over which he reigned. And we know tons about Herod. Historians have tons of records about Herod. He's called Herod the Great, not because he was a good man, but he was a powerful ruler. And one of the things that we're told throughout the records about Herod is that he was an insecure king. That he was desperate to cling to his throne, to hold on to his claim for that throne. He is even told that he executed one of his wives because of the threat there. And so Herod then gets the news that he didn't want. And we're told in verse 3 that he was terrified. He was afraid, and all of Israel with him. In other words, they knew if Herod was out of his insecurity, began to react, people were going to die. And actually, we're going to see some of that on Sunday when Billy looks at the latter half of this chapter. But what we want to see here is that Jesus interrupts Herod's claim to the throne. Jesus interrupts this divine interruption as he enters into Herod's story, that Jesus won't be simply relegated off to this religious sect, but that Herod knew that Jesus' claim to be the king of the Jews was a claim that threatened his claim. And what we see Jesus doing, not just in this story, but in the world, is that he is interrupting all of our stories. He's an intruder, a good intruder. Herod did not receive it as a grace, but it was a grace. His insecurity was a manifestation of that he was not the rightful king. He was didn't have the rightful claim. But he had a choice of whether to respond in fear or in faith. The divine interruption into Herod gives him that opportunity to look again at his life and to reflect on his claim to the throne and now this new king's claim to the throne. And by the way, that's true for you and me, even this Christmas night. It is an interruption. It is a gracious divine intrusion that says, reflect on what you're bowing down to. Reflect upon the ways that you try to lay claim to various aspects of your life. And Jesus is interrupting. And he does that for Herod. Herod responds in fear. But then he does a similar thing to the Magi, because he interrupts them also. These are folks who made their living telling stories. It would have been the equivalent of, the $5 palm reader on college. Stop in, I'll tell you your whole future. These guys studied the stars to find out truth. And you know what? They stumbled upon it. God interrupted their story too. He laid claim to their stories. You see, what they would do, just like the astrologers today, if you get the paper and you look at your astrological sign and it says, hey, you're going to have a great week. These guys made up stories from the stars. That was their means of livelihood. They were professional storytellers, and they would sit at the feet of kings and other people to try to get some advantage of what was going to happen in life. And so they looked at the stars, and what happened was God interrupted. And what happens by God's grace is they pay attention. Unlike Herod, they respond in faith. And by the way, this wasn't, a weekend road trip over to Jerusalem. These folks were probably on a 6-month journey there and back. It was a long way. It took a lot for them to get to this baby Jesus. By the way, one of the reasons that the Magi don't fit into our story sometimes is because the way we look at our nativity sets. If we were to actually create our nativity sets to be kind of real demonstrations of what was going on, the Magi would probably be across the room somewhere because they weren't at the birth of Jesus. They showed up months later to this baby. But they came. God interrupted their story. And one of the things that I want us to see in that is the claim of Jesus as king over all the earth, because these guys were just studying the stars. They were doing their ordinary job. And God interrupted that ordinary story. And that is the way that He interacts and interrupts our stories too. It's not just in religious settings like this that God shows up. It's not just in spiritual talk. It's in the ordinary, daily slog of life that God interrupts and begins to try to tell a new story out of your life. And a lot of times He uses not the things that are overtly spiritual, but that He uses the things of the world. Struggles at home, challenges with children, losses of jobs, changing of calling. He uses those ordinary aspects of life to do extraordinary things. Jesus interrupts these guys' ordinary story. And what they end up doing is they end up worshiping Him. But we see in this interruption, this divine interruption where Jesus lays claim. He lays claim over all the other thrones. He's not willing to share His reign with Herod. He interrupts the stories, the false stories that these men had been telling them, and graciously tells them a new story. And it's a model for us. It's the model that Paul used at the Areopagus in Acts 17, where the pagan philosophers were all sitting around pontificating, and Paul notices their lives. He begins to actually listen to what's going on, and he sees their devoutness. He doesn't just go, "Oh, y'all are idiots." He goes, "I see what you long for. I see this idol to the unknown God. Let me introduce you to who He really is." And that's exactly what Jesus is doing in this story. That's why Matthew includes the Magi here. Is that he's telling us that God is breaking in. It's this divine interruption. He's laying claim to the world, and he's telling the story through it. But we also see, finally, this, that he's also laying claim to the nations. You see, this story has been told forever and ever. And what is really going on is not simply the personal experience of a few wise men, palm readers. But it's really ties into the greater story that not these men are telling, or even Matthew's telling, but that God is telling. And it is the interruption that is laying claim to all the nations. You see, these Magi were from the east. They were from the far off. They were from Persia. They were from the Arab world and from probably India. And they may have, may not have ever heard of the Hebrew Scriptures. There were some Jews that through the diaspora, through the dissemination of the Jewish people throughout those lands, they may have heard the stories, the claims of Moses, seen the Scriptures. But what we see is them coming in by divine appointment. That God is drawing the nations to Himself. That He is laying claim, not just to the thrones of this earth, not simply that He is orchestrating and laying a claim to the world, but that He is laying claim to the nations. That's the good news of Christmas. Christmas is not simply the celebration of a small religious group of people. Christmas is the story of the King of Kings laying claim to what is His. And in that claim, as He lays claim over all the other thrones that we try to establish, as He lays claim to the world itself, the stars in the sky, and as He lays claim to the nations, what He is laying claim to as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is this claim of grace, the extension of His kingdom of grace that knows no bounds. The celebration of Christmas is the celebration of the King of Kings, His claim over all the earth, and the promise that He will reign. We see that He's called the King of the Jews here. And the next time that He's referred to as the King of the Jews is when He's hanging on the cross. And in Matthew, we see a broadening of this claim of reign, of grace. And on the cross, we see an even bigger and broader claim. That as He hangs on the cross as the King of the Jews, we see that His reign not only extends over the thrones, over the world, over the nations, but over sin itself. That is the good news of Christmas. That He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let me pray for us. Our Father and our God, thank You for sending Your Son. Thank You for the claim that He has over all the earth. That He is laying claim to us. That He is extending the borders and the boundaries of His grace. May we respond not in fear, but in faith. It is in Christ's name we pray. Amen.